Her attitude said that nothing, not dust, not visiting English, not a houseful of her oversized brothers, would daunt this woman. Without thinking, Matthew picked up the two corners of the blanket that had drifted to the blue and red tartan rug. "Will you be having other guests this summer?" he put the question to her as they stepped toward each other. "Likely not," she grasped the corners he'd picked up, their fingers brushing. Matthew did not step back. Mary Frances MacGregor, Lady Mary Frances MacGregor, had freckles over the bridge of her nose. They were faint, even delicate, and they made her look younger. She could have powdered them into oblivion, but she hadn't. "Mr. Daniels," she gave the blanket a tug. Matthew moved back a single step. "You typically have only one set of guests each summer?" Whatever her scent, it wasn't only floral, but also held something spicy, fresh, like cedar, but not quite cedar. "No, we usually have as many guests as the brief summers here permit, particularly once Her Majesty and His Royal Highness are ensconced next door. But if your sister becomes engaged to my brother, there will be other matters to see to, won't there?" This question, alluding to much and saying little, was accompanied by an expression that involved the corners of the lady's lips turning up. And yet it wasn't a smile. "I suppose there will." Things like settling a portion of the considerable Daniels' wealth into the impoverished Balfour coffers. Things like preparing for the wedding of a lowly English baron's daughter to a Scottish earl. "We'll gather in the parlour for drinks before the evening meal, Mr. Daniels. The parlour is directly beneath us, one floor down. Any footman can direct you." She was insulting him. Matthew took a moment to decipher this, and in the next moment he realized the insult was not intentional. Some of the MacGregors' guests, wealthy English wanting to boast of a visit to the Queen's own piece of the Highlands, probably spent much of their stay too inebriated to navigate even the corridors of the Earl's country house. "I'll find my way, though at some point I would also like to be shown where the rest of my family is housed." "Of course." Another non-smile. She glanced around the room the way Matthew had seen generals look over the troops prior to a parade review, her lips flattening, her gaze seeking any detail out of order. "Until dinner, Mr. Daniels." She bobbed a curtsy and whirled away before Matthew could even offer her a proper bow.
"Miss MacGregor?"
Mary Fran's insides clenched at the sound of Baron Altsax's voice. She pasted a smile on her face and tried to push aside the need to check on the dining room, the kitchen, and the ladies' guest rooms, and the need to locate Fiona. The child tended to hide when a new batch of guests came to stay.
"Baron, what may I do for you?"
"I had a few questions, Miss MacGregor, if you wouldn't mind."
He gestured to his bedroom, his smile suggesting he knew damned good and well the insult he did an earl's daughter by referring to her as Miss Anything. A double insult, in fact. Mary Fran did not follow the leering old buffoon into his room. Altsax's son, the soft-spoken Mr. Daniels, would reconnoitre before he started bothering the help, though big, blonde, good-looking young men seldom needed to bother the help, not so with the skinny, pot-gutted old men.
"I'm a bit behind, my lord. Was it something I could send a maid to tend to?"
The Baron gestured toward the drinking pitcher on the escritoire, while Mary Fran lingered at the threshold.
"This water is not chilled. I've yet to see a tea service, and prolonged travel by train can leave a man in need of something to wash the dust from his throat."
He arched one supercilious eyebrow, as if it took some subtle instinct to divine when an Englishman was whining for his whisky.
"The maids will be along shortly with the tea service, my lord. You'll find a decanter with some of our best libation on the nightstand, and I can send up some chilled water."
Because they at least had ice to spare in the Highlands.
"See that you do."
Mary Fran tossed him a hint of a curtsy and left before he could make up more excuses to lure her into his room. The paying guests were a source of much-needed coin, but the summers were too short, and the expenses of running Balfour too great for paying guests alone to reverse the MacGregor family fortunes. The benefit of this situation...